Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Chairs Now Waiting, episode number 778, A Feud is a Feud. Two Chairs Now Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the shirts and sweatshirts they have there. We got a Mayberry Man the Series t-shirt. Yep, that Mayberry Man the Series is coming out in May. So go ahead and get it to be wearing it. And we have a Mayberry Union High hoodie. That's right. We hadn't had the hoodies that are blue. Go check that out over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 778 are the attendees from the Mayberry Meetup of last year. And a Patreon patron of the week is Billy Lennox. So thank you, Billy, and thank you all the folks that attended the Mayberry Meetup. And you can do that again this year. All the information is in our show notes about the Mayberry Meetup coming up in July, so go and check that out. Folks, hey, it is great to be here in Mayberry with you. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting, and always fun to talk about the Andy Griffith Show. We have been talking about episodes from the show, kind of trying to run through them for the season, or for the first season. This whole year we've been kind of doing that. We took a break last week for the wonderful episode with Dennis Rush. I hope you got a chance to listen to or watch that. And it was a great episode. It was an hour long, basically, but I just didn't feel like I could cut it up because it was just too good. Dennis was absolutely amazing, and thank him so much for spending so much time with us last week. This week, we're going to be doing A Feud is a Feud, and that'll be our first, first part of the show tonight, and we've got lots more, so go ahead and get ready for that. But I'm going to get just a little bit of music going to the background just to make us, calmer. There we go. Plus, I'm going to be talking a lot. This is all about A Feud is a Feud. Now, this is the episode is found. You can find out all this information, by the way. You can find out all the information if you go to Mayberry.info and then go to the episodes page. Episode guide is right there. You'll see it when you go there, especially if you're on a home computer. You'll see it's right there on the left. Click episode guide, go down to season one, and you click on A Feud is a Feud, and it'll take you right to the episode, and you can find out all this information. Now, this is episode number 9 of season one. Now, it's the 8th episode filmed, and we're doing them in filmed order, so you have to forgive me. Randy Turner, a couple of weeks ago, explained the difference in that. Because there's a filmed order and an aired order. So things can get out of sync a little bit. But this is the 8th episode filmed, but the 9th episode aired. So the way you'll see it on IMDb now is they do it S1, season 1, .E9, which would mean episode 9 of season 1. The original air date for this episode was the 5th of December, 1960. The writer was David Adler. And Don Weiss, I'm not sure which it is. I need to find that out, I guess, was the director. And so you guys already know the story. I am 100% sure. You know, Andy. I love this episode. I love all the episodes. I guess there's my problem, right? So in this episode, Andy's caught in the middle of a feuding family, a mountain family there, that when a son wants to marry the daughter of the other family, you know, and they show up at the Andy's house to elope, basically, I think, to get married. And basically, Andy ends up bringing an end to the feud in the end by bluffing and getting them to settle the matter, kind of. So you guys already know that story. I am 100% sure. Now, so let's go into it a little bit, all right, what really happened during the show. So basically, the full plot, that was just a summary. But the plot basically is when Andy, he has shotguns pointed at him while he's attempting to let the son and daughter of two feuding families get married, right? He decides the best way to help the youngsters is to find out what caused the feud in the first place. Now, you'll see there, you know, that the family shows up in the middle of the night. You know that Andy comes downstairs. He's got on his bed jacket. Aunt B helps him put it on. And Opie, by the way. And then that's when the parents of the young man and young woman show up with shotguns. And at some point, Andy realizes it's the Wakefields and the Carters. And they're a feuding. He figures that out. So then, you know, they leave. And after explaining to Opie and Aunt B the dangers inherent in getting caught between feuding families by telling a version of Romeo and Juliet, that I think we've all heard, Andy sets off to go and try to find some way to end this feud among these families. So despite his best efforts, you know, Andy, is unable to discover the cause of the feud. He goes over. First, he goes to Mr. Wakefield's house, and he's shooting his gun, but he ain't hitting nobody because he was shooting at him. He said, "You don't see anybody? That's what I was afraid of." And so then he heads over to Mr. Carter's house, and Mr. Carter's the best one, I think, as they're explaining this. "Well, why are you shooting at one another?" "Because we're feuding." "Well, but why are you feuding?" "Oh, because we're shooting at one another." That's one of my favorite parts. The whole thing, that whole conversation. And Andy just keeps trying, "No, I don't think you're understanding. Why are you feuding?" "Because he's a Wakefield." "Well, but why started the feud?" "Because we're shooting at one another." That whole conversation. I love it. So basically, Andy tries to figure out a way to find out what actually started the feud. And he discovers that in spite of decades of so-called feuding, that no one from either family has ever been injured or even shot. Not shot or even injured, I should say. So, basically, Andy brings the two feuding parties together, the Mr. Wakefield and Mr. Carter, explaining how bad it makes them look to have a feud where no one has ever even been killed. And he tries to egg on the two feuding fathers into a duel, which, you know, in the end, you know, it ends up with them just running away. You've seen that. So they run away in the end. All right. So that's basically it. They begin running for the hills. And when it became clear that their two youngsters wouldn't have any courage, you know, to stand up to them, that they had that courage, that they decided that they needed to get married. So they headed back over to Andy's house and even forced him to put back on the nightcap to marry the youngsters. And that's basically what happens in that particular episode. That's pretty cool. Well, so that's what happened. I've gotten distracted. There's a picture here I'm looking at. And we're going to have to talk about that later because I just saw what it is. It's a picture from the very end of the episode, and laying on top of the piano, there is a songbook that I think we'll want to talk about at some point. So I may have to do a little research into that. All right, so let's go on, though. Here's some odd facts known by a few. In the first scene of the episode. Aunt B is seen with her hair down. It's not up in a bun like we normally see her. And that's because the Taylors have just been awakened in the middle of the night. And that was for Andy to marry the Justice of the Peace, as the Justice of the Peace, the marry Josh and Hannah. So that's what happens. So this is the first time I think maybe the only time we ever see Aunt B's hair down like that. So her hair is down in that entire episode. All right. So Andy wears his nightcap and his nightshirt to marry the couples because it's just been, it's expected that that's what he should look like as Justice of the Peace when a young couple comes to get married in the middle of the night. That's how you're supposed to be. That's how you're supposed to look. So he dresses up like that. Okay, so we find out also in that episode, by the way, that there's a doorbell on the Taylor's home, which was not super common back in those days, but there were doorbells, but it was a little bit unusual in 1960 to have a doorbell in your house. So Andy, while he is trying to get Mr. Wakefield and Mr. Carter to do their duel, they start saying that they, since it's from France, that maybe he should count off in French. And if he doesn't know French, they'd be obliged to wait for him to learn it. And he tells everybody, this was the not odd fact known by few, that he had learned a little French when he was over there for the war. So that's when we find out that Andy had been over in France for the war. By the way, Andy wears his gun in this episode. He actually has his gun, pistol, on in this episode, in this scene in particular. So during the scene, at about 18 minutes and 30 seconds into the show, if you're watching on your DVD or something, you can see that. Andy takes both men's shotguns. He unloads them, right? So he unloads them. And then when he comes back, he returns the guns to the wrong man. So he took Mr. Wakefield's gun and gave it to Mr. Carter, and Mr. Carter's gun and gave it to Mr. Wakefield. Now, that may have been an error, but it could also been because the rules of dueling, it would not be fair necessarily to use, you could use the other person's gun because then their gun has to be in good shape, you know, that kind of thing. Normally, you know, they would come, if you watch the old movies where they'd have two guns in a thing and you'd have to pick one, the other guy gets to pick one. So there's always that. Maybe that's why, or maybe it's just a mistake. Either way, watch for that when you're watching the episode. At 18 minutes and 30 seconds into the episode, Andy takes the guns, unloads them, and when he returns the shotguns to each man, he gives them the opposite man's gun. Okay? So for years, there's an actress named Tammy Windsor, who was erroneously identified as Karen Kupnick, I'm going to say, and was believed for years to be the one that played Hannah Carter. Well, Tammy Windsor is not Karen Kupnick, and so this information, so just so you're aware, is that it's all about Hannah in here. So people thought that Tammy Windsor was identified as Karen Kupnick. Well, that's not true. That's not right. So I want to clear this up. It's been confirmed by the family of Karen Kupnick, who wrote this to say, "Thanks for sharing your interest in Karen. I can tell you that she was not Tammy Windsor." That's the actress who played Hannah, the daughter, the bride in this episode. The researcher who came up with that notion and even got IMDb and Wikipedia to go along with it has since reversed her opinion. Information about the true identity of Tammy Windsor was found by Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter member from the Rerun Watchers Club, Janet Anderson. And there is a reference for more information that can be found all about that information. So just so you guys know, Karen Kupnick, if you ever see that was not Tammy Windsor. That is not who played. That's not the actress's name. So there we go. We got that fixed for you. So let's see. Going back a little bit here, the actor Chubby Johnson, who was a true jack of all played. He played Mr. Carter. He at different times of his life, he was a reporter, a columnist, a journalist, and a radio announcer, and he was even a butcher. So he did all kinds of things in his life, Mr. Carter did. Now, Arthur Honeycutt is Mr. Wakefield. He co-starred with Edgar Buchanan. He was Mr. Wheeler. He co-starred with him in a pilot for a CBS sitcom called Lum and Abner in 1962. It's about a pair of men from the Ozarks in Arkansas. They were storekeepers. The series wasn't picked up by CBS. Now, if you guys have ever listened to the Lum and Abner radio show, Lum and Abner has been around for, it's an old time radio show. Definitely worth listening to. Very Mayberry-ish, by the way. So it would have been really cool to have seen that. And there were movies of Lum and Abner. And Abner, the man who played Abner on the radio, he was Mr. Doakes, the owner of the grocery store when Opie was competing for a job at the grocery store delivering groceries, if you all remember that. That's the same man who played Abner from Lum and Abner, the old radio version of the show. So it'd have been really cool to have seen this. So thing to note, Mrs. Carter and Mrs. Wakefield, they don't ever appear on this episode. So don't know what happened to them. And neither does Don Knotts. Barney is not in this episode either. And this is one of the four episodes that the Andy Griffith Show's patrol car, the Mayberry patrol car, had the tag number DC-269. Okay? So I believe that is all I have got for you about that. And that is A Feud is a Feud. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. That's a lot of information. I hope that was some of the stuff maybe you hadn't heard before and just a little bit more about that particular episode. Definitely something worth checking out. All right, guys. So we're going to head over and let Floyd tell us about an upcoming event that I would love to see you guys attend. So,
oh, my goodness. There's events happening all over Mayberry. April 11th through the 13th, they're going to have the 4th annual Mayberry and I Love Lucy Festival in historic Granville, Tennessee. Oh, that's going to be nice. You're going to have special guests like Keith Thibodeau, who played Johnny Paul in the Andy Griffith Show, and he was also Little Ricky on I Love Lucy. Yeah. Going to have Dennis Rush. Dennis was he was Johnny Paul and Opie's buddy on the Andy Griffith Show. Oh, yeah, he played Howie. Oh, yeah, he'll be there. Oh, let's see, who else will be there? You're going to have, Dixie Griffith, the daughter of Andy Griffith, and Karen Knotts, the daughter of Don Knotts, will be there. They're going to all be participating in special events throughout the festival. Oh, it's going to be big. All kinds of tribute artists will be there as well. Make plans to be there with us April the 11th through the 13th in Granville, Tennessee. You can find out the information by going to Granville. It's not got a D in there. It's just GranvilleTN.com. And you can check it out. All that information is there about the annual Mayberry I Love Lucy Festival. Oh, it's going to be big. Oh, they're working hard on it, too. Come out and see us.
All right. Well, thank you, Floyd. Thank you. We are looking forward to seeing you guys in Granville, Tennessee. It's Granville, GranvilleTN.com. So there you go. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of trivia, but before we do the trivia, I want to tell you about a little picture that was posted just recently that you guys might have seen. There's a picture, and we want to wish a happy birthday, by the way, to Ron Howard, who just had his 70th birthday back on March the 1st. And they had a birthday dinner for him, and we have a picture on our video feed if you're watching it. But it's basically of Ron Howard, his wife Cheryl, and his daughter Paige. And Paige had turned 39 on February the 5th. Their family has got a lot of birthdays right together. She had her 39th birthday on the 5th, and she has a twin sister, Jocelyn, as well. He and Ron wrote, he said, "What a great pick from last night's birthday dinner. Daughter Paige and my beloved. Great night with family and friends." So we wish Ron Howard a very happy birthday, and the family all the way around. Have a family, big birthday time there with them. So congratulations to the Howards. We appreciate that. All right, guys, it is time for some trivia. So if you guys are ready, pull out your trivia expertise. We got five questions coming to us from Paul Mulick, trivia expert that he is. This one, the topic this week is about musical instruments. Musical instruments. So is everybody ready? I'm going to pull over so I can see our chat room. If you guys would like to be a part of the chat room, we record this show live at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Monday nights. Monday nights. So come and join us at live.2chairsnowaiting.com, and you can be a part of the chat room and do the trivia live and see how you do against all these folks in the chat room. All right, guys, here we go. Here we go. Question number one. Remember, all the questions are about instruments, musical instruments. Question number one, what instrument does Floyd play in the Mayberry Band? Have we already asked this? I don't know if we've asked this or not. If we have, you shouldn't get it wrong. What instrument does Floyd play in the Mayberry Band? All right. I'm not going to give you a lot of time. For folks watching the video version, there is a case for this instrument sitting behind me. The answer, what instrument does Floyd play in the Mayberry Town Band, is the trombone. Right over here, if you're watching the video version, you'll see it. It's not very helpful if you don't know that's what that is, but that's a trombone case behind me. All right, so that's one. Question number one. Question number two, worth 1 point, by the way. Both of these worth 1 point. Who is the organist at the Mayberry All Souls Church? Question two. Who is the organist at the Mayberry All Souls Church? Okay. Got to think about it a little bit. This is not very hard. This is not hard. I don't think that either one of those are very hard. Okay. All right, who's the organist at the Mayberry All Souls Church? The answer, you can mark it down. The answer is Clara. Clara is the symbolist. All right, this is question number three, but it's worth 3 points, so you get 1 point for each that you can name. Okay, so here's the question. Barney is seen to play what three instruments? You get 1 point per instrument. There's three of them. Barney is seen to play what three instruments? You get 1 point for each. So there's three. That would be 3 points. Yeah, Mayberry All Souls Church. It's not Hazel that plays at that church. You know, no, she's not the organist. She may be the pianist. We didn't see the pianist, but not the organist. All right. 3 points. Barney is seen to play what three instruments? All right. Here comes the answers. I'm not seeing a lot of... Oh, folks in the chat room got... I see two, three. Somebody got three there. Who got those? Good job. All right. Folks in the chat room are getting these. So here's the three. If you're ready. Barney played. We saw him play. He's seen to play three instruments. Okay. First one's harmonica. Okay. That one's pretty easy. This one I think is easy. The cymbals. He scared Andy to death with them. Now, this one's a little harder. The third one is the bongo drums. So he played a harmonica, bongo drums, and the crash cymbals. The boom, the cymbals. Okay, there you go. So that was 3 points. So you could have up to 5 points right now. Okay. Okay. So next one, worth 1 point. This one is a hard one, in my opinion. Who is Aunt Bee's piano tuner? Oh, my goodness. Who is Aunt Bee's piano tuner? I don't know this one. I'm reading it, and I don't know that. Good job to Paul Mulick. Thank him for these trivia questions. Who is Aunt Bee's piano tuner? All right, I'm not going to let you suffer too long, because if you're like me, you're going, I don't remember. This must have been mentioned. It was near, I don't think, seen. I don't know. Folks in the chat room are putting question marks. So here's the answer. And this is a good one to keep up with, because it sounds like a question somebody could ask sometime. Who is Aunt Bee's piano tuner? The answer is Mr. Higby. The chief got it. Whoever that is in our chat room, congratulations to the chief. Mr. Higby. Mr. Higby is correct. Wow, I'm impressed. All right, and our final question for the night, worth 1 point. Who attempted to repair the church organ with limited success? Who attempted to repair the church organ with limited success? Okay, this is question number 5. This is tough. All right. Who attempted to repair the church organ with limited success? I didn't know this. The guess I would have made is not the right answer. So just so you know, so you guys might be able to get this, but here comes the answer. Wow. Shazam. Captain Marvel in our chat room got it correctly. South Carolina Cody. Good job. Did y'all get this? I didn't get this. Here's the answer. Who attempted to repair the church organ with limited success? It was Goober Pyle that did. He tried, but it didn't work out. Wow. Congratulations to the folks in the chat room that got that correct. Good job, Shirley, and others that said Emmett. That's what I would have said as well. That is incorrect, though. It's not right. Hey, what do I know? That's what I would have guessed, and I would have got it wrong. So there you go. Good job, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. Those are a little harder, at least a couple of them. I don't remember Mr. Higby. I'm very impressed that the chief got it correct in the chat room. I'm very impressed. Good job, the chief. I like it. So, again, if you guys would like to be a part of the chat room, we have chat room at our main page, live.2chairsnowaiting. There's also chat rooms over on Facebook and on YouTube where you can try to answer these questions and be live and talking to people. There's a bunch of people in all of them. So head over if you'd like to on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time, so 7 p.m. Central. And join in with us. We have a lot of fun. Guys, that is a wrap for this evening. I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. Oh, stop the presses. I forgot. I've got to tell you a special announcement. So Weaver's Department Store, for all you guys that are listening and you've stuck it out this long, I'm going to tell you a secret. Because we're going to be running out. We got Mrs. Weavers right here. She can give us the details. But we just found out a week ago.
You're telling it. You're not letting me tell it. Why am I standing here?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay. I got an email about a week and a half ago, from one of our two licensed vendors that they have ceased and selling Andrew Griffith Show merchandise. They said I can't order it anymore. They gave me no notification at all, so I couldn't stock up or anything. So we are no longer going to be able to get 53 of our current designs. So that's over half of what we carry.
Of the t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Yeah. So if you see a t-shirt design or a sweatshirt design on our site that you like, you might want to grab it, because that once they're gone, they're gone. We're going to try to figure something out, but basically if it has a face on it, that's what's going away. We do still have a few that's from another vendor that's still going to be available, but that's the issue. To have a face on it, or to say the Andy Griffith Show, has to come from a licensed vendor for it to be legal. And that's where we try to stay under the guidelines, is to stay legal with it. So we're trying to figure out what we can do. But anyway, if you want a shirt that's something on our site, you might want to go take a look at them, because they will be going away. Like I said, there's 53 designs.
All right.
And 10 of our sweatshirts.
All right.
Anyway,
so there's the news, guys. So Weavers is losing 53 different designs of the shirts. A lot of the shirts. Yeah. So we're trying to figure out how we can do this. Licenses cost a lot of money.
We can't
afford to do them ourselves.
We don't make that kind of money. No.
Mm-hmm. We aren't even close. But you can still get a Weavers t-shirt. We can pull that off for you.
Yeah.
But a lot of the shirts are going to be going away. So the reason we're telling you that's because once our supply is gone, there are no more, at least not from Weavers. So only things that people already have in their stores will be available. So you're that's only chances.
Yeah, and
so,
there are only some stores that carry these shirts, and once those shirts are gone from their stores, they're gone too. So
that's what I said. Yeah. So once they're gone, the people that already have the inventory of the shirts that have been discontinued, you're not going to be able to get them.
They're gone. So, right. Yeah. Nobody's going to have them.
Right. That's what I said.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thanks for repeating. That's good. All right. Thank you, Mrs.
Weaver. I'm
just
trying to make sure that it's clear as mud. Nobody's going to have them.
So, Bernard P5, officer of the court. Yeah. You know, we're going to have to see what we can do about this.
Yeah.
But no, this is it's too bad. We've been carrying the t-shirts for a long time. But since you're loyal listeners, we warned the folks last week that in our live show, we kind of gave them a heads up first. And now we're giving you guys the same heads up, that if there are any shirts out there that you need a replacement of because yours is wearing out, or it's just one you had been wanting to get and you hadn't gotten yet, you need to go do it now because they'll be gone pretty soon. We don't have a huge supply of any of the particular sizes. So more than likely, you'll be able to get a little.
That room back there only holds so much stuff.
Yeah, you'll probably end up getting a little small one if you like one, and you could just stretch into it or lose a whole lot of weight because they're little. But that's your only options at some point. So head over to Weavers and check it out and see if there's anything you'd like. And if there's not, then don't get it. But if there is, get it now, because there's no holding back. So, all right. Well, thank you, Mrs. Weaver, for the report. Appreciate it. And guys, that is all I've got for you tonight. Thanks for being here with us at the Weavers Fire Sale. Two chairs, no waiting. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com or just drop by twochairsnowaiting.com and let me hear what you think. Folks, until next time, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you right here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.